Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones, I'm the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Another Sunday afternoon. Thank you to everybody for pausing all in to listen to us. If you are looking for some live pro wrestling today, if you are near me in Lake City in Seattle, Washington, there is a free Lucha Libre show with Lucha Libre Volcanica. So make sure you come out and support that show. First time here in Lake City for them. But without any further ado, I want to welcome our guest today. He is one of the fine officials out of the Midwest. We've heard a number of our guests say he is one of the top referees in which they have seen. Joe Kopacz, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you very much for the compliment. I really appreciate that. I'm glad to be here.
Well, since it is your first time with us, I'm going to lead you off today with the traditional first-timer question. How did you get into the business of professional wrestling?
My first memory was watching Mid-South back in the early 80s, and I saw Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, and they were having celebration. Midnight Express was having celebration with Jim Cornette. Rock and Roll Express came in, and they threw Cornette in the cake, and they started brawling, and I got hooked ever since. And I ended up joining a promotion in Texas back in 1998. Promotion wasn't all that great. I ended up breaking my ankle in my second match, and then I joined up Heartland Wrestling promotion back in 2000, and I've been wrestling ever since.
And when you got into the business yourself, was it similar to how you envisioned it would be, or did things not work how you thought of it when you were transitioning from a fan into an actual person in the business?
Well, I did go to independent shows and stuff like that, so I had an open mind as to what to expect. I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but it was fun. It was very strenuous at times, stressful at times, but I just, liked doing it, and I had fun doing it, so I just had fun working for different companies and stuff, and we trained about 4 times a week. And I took the same training as all the wrestlers and managers and stuff, so I would know how to protect myself and know where people would land on moves, so I would stay out of their way and stuff. So, but yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it, and that's what I wanted to do, and there was no quitting.
Now, you, in addition to refereeing, also wrestle, and sometimes you wrestle as a referee on a lot of shows. I'm sure in the course of your time in the business, you have witnessed quite a few injuries, whether it was during a match you were directly involved with or just during the course of a show that you were at in general. What are some of the major injuries that you've been on hand to witness?
Well, my very second match, when I wrestled for a promotion in Texas before I moved up here to Ohio, I ended up breaking my own ankle during the wrestling match. And I've seen some people get dislocated shoulders, pass out by hitting their head on the concrete or the guardrail and stuff. And I've ended up stopping the matches and, get medical attention to these people and stuff. So I ended up having a broken nose also during the wrestling match. I had counted the 3 count, even though that wasn't the finish. One of the wrestlers got upset at me, punched me in the nose and kept kicking me in the nose repeatedly. So I ended up getting a broken nose during that. He was in the moment and things got out of hand. He ended up apologizing and stuff like that, and we smoothed things over. But injuries happen, but those were like the major ones that I've seen or been involved with. I've actually had a couple wrestlers would run out of breath, so I would have to give them an inhaler that I was actually holding on to them for, just in case anything happened. And I ended up doing that because they were just running out of breath, going too fast. So we rolled out of the ring. I gave them an inhaler so they could continue the match.
Now, you've been around for quite a long while now, and since you first started, the wrestling business has evolved quite a bit. In today's environment, there are countless ways for promotions to get eyes on their product, whether it is putting the matches up on YouTube or going to a live streaming service like Powerbomb.tv or IWTV or what have you. There's still traditional cable and broadcast television stations that air pro wrestling around the country. So there's a lot of ways to broadcast the matches no matter what level you are at. Do you work for very many promotions that are broadcasting their shows?
The only broadcasting network promotions I work for, they've gone Facebook Live a couple of times. And just the promotions that I work with. Yeah, but I have seen some promotions promote live on TikTok. So, those two right there are the main streaming services that, I've seen other wrestling companies perform on, which, it's a free service. So why not check out a free show if you're not in.
When you do matches that are being broadcast, whether it's being taped to put on YouTube or if it's a live broadcast, do you work any differently in the ring than you would if it's a show that strictly the fans in attendance will see?
No, anytime I work a professional match, anytime I work a pro wrestling match, I am professional. You know, anytime I step foot in the ring, because you have to look professional, you have to act professional, you know, for the fans to, you know, see you as a professional. You have to act like a professional. So anytime I'm in the ring, I'm always a professional.
One of the big things in pro wrestling that has also come along in the last 15 years or so that has changed the industry is social media. Most people within the wrestling business use it to some level to promote the shows or their individual careers. Very few people that are in the business completely stay away from social media. It's just not a good way to go about business if you're looking to succeed. Do you, from what you have witnessed and been part of in your own career, think that the promotions and the people that work for the promotions are correctly using social media, or do you think that social media is something that wrestling is struggling to understand where you're at?
Well, to me, not only social media, but I actually talk about the product. Like on the shows that I'm at, I will talk about the shows, you know, while I'm at work or out with friends or family or whatever. That's still advertising. If I have promotions that I work for, I ask for flyers so I can hand them out. There's not a lot of people on social media. If I give them a flyer, say, hey, you check out this show, such and such date, they have a piece of paper on them with the date, with the time, with, you know, all the information that they need. I still believe in advertising that way as well. You know, social media or people nowadays that are always on social media. But there are still a lot of people I know that don't have Facebook or TikTok or Instagram or whatever. They just go by advertisement on TV or, you know, flyers or posters or whatever, advertisements in magazines. You know, you still have to cater to those that don't have access to social media. You know, that's where the flyers come in handy, or just talking about it. If one person talks about it, them invested in it, they're going to talk about somebody else. That's just as good as social media, not better. So that's my whole take on the advertisement business, is just advertise it any way you can. When I used to work for Heartland Wrestling Association, I was part, you know, promotions director for a certain area. It was Red Barn Flea Market, Batavia, Ohio. I was in charge of the advertisement. Back then, we didn't have social media. We put up flyers. We put up flyers in businesses, apartment complexes, gas stations, whatever. So, you know, that advertisement works just as well as social media.
One of the ways that everyone in wrestling makes money, and it's usually not directly with the wrestling show itself, is merchandising. I've seen guys go into shows and make two or three times more than what their booking fee actually was, and that's where their profit margin lies. It's not usually in the booking fee itself. Promoters usually make their money on merchandising and concessions and so forth, and not so much just the ticket sales. As someone that's on shows, what do you see on the merchandise side of things? Do you see a lot of guys doing well selling merchandise? Do you see a lot of creative things hitting the tables, or are you seeing just a few shirts and hats here and there?
I've seen some guys that were quadruple what the promoter is paying them. I've seen shirts, I've seen keychains, I've seen koozies, I've seen magnets, I've seen berets, little, you know, refrigerator magnets. People are getting creative to put their name or their face out of the company, and I think it's great, because I always see sessions that the shows that I'm at and see how, you know, people have different ways of promoting themselves, and people are getting creative, you know, each time. I mean, I've even seen wristbands with people's names on them and stuff. You know, it's only a couple bucks, but, you know, still, that's advertising. That's self-promotion, and it's a great idea.
We all know that the goal in wrestling, people are serious and are doing things right, is to have the most people possible in the building, buying tickets, buying merchandise, buying concessions. Some of us are lucky enough to have worked in front of some very, very large crowds. I'm sure you have seen some pretty decent crowds in your day. What's the biggest crowd that you've worked in front of so far?
It was Brian Pillman Memorial Show. We had 2,000 people, and it was Nodder and Brian Pillman. So we had, you know, WCW stars there, WWF stars there, and stuff. So that right there has been our biggest show that I've performed in front of.
Those were some pretty good houses, for sure.
Oh, yeah, they were. Most of the proceeds went to, you know, family, Brian Pillman, and just, you know, he touched a lot of people during his, you know, lifetime, you know, wrestlers and non-wrestlers.
Well, at this time, my co-host, Coach Mike Jones, is standing by, and I know Coach has some questions as well, so I'm going to pass you right over to the coach with the most.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, Coach?
Good, man. Now, did you play sports in high school or growing up?
I played football in high school, and I was a wide receiver. Wide receiver, safety, and the cornerback. But we didn't have wrestling back in my day in high school and stuff, the high school I went to, so I had fun playing football. But wrestling was always something I've always wanted to get into.
And what's the rest of your self-defense background?
Really? No self-defense. I was in the military in 87, got out in 89 and stuff. So basically, you know, I guess you could say that was a part of self-defense there. So basically the military.
Okay. And in your lifetime, who are your heroes growing up? And that includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
Well, my number one guy was my stepdad growing up. He had always, he knew that I loved the business, and he always supported it with me by taking me to the shows when I was a kid and stuff. And, you know, he was like my idol growing up. But in the wrestling business, I really didn't have idols or whatever. It's just, you know, I like Terry Taylor, Magnum TA, you know, Jim Cornette and stuff. So when I meet those people, I kind of get goosebumps, because I grew up watching them, and now here I am in the ring with them. Actually, I saw Jim Duggan. I ended up repping one of his matches when he was in town for an HOVA event, and my stepdad, that was his favorite wrestler of all time. So it was an honor to work with Jim Cornette. Jim Duggan, sorry.
Okay, definitely. And then in your lifetime, what have been some of the most memorable matches that you've seen? That includes live, internet, or VHS tape, or whatever.
There was a lot. I mean, I remember watching the Von Erichs, you know, growing up, the, you know, six-man tag wars between Fabulous Freebirds and the Von Erichs. Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus Hacksaw Butch Reed, Coal Miners Club match back in the day. It's just so many different memories from so many different people. And even in my career, been involved in cage matches, barbed wire matches, and, you know, I have fun, and it's just something I like watching and being a part of.
Awesome. What do you got coming up?
Well, what they got coming up, we got a big event for War Wrestling September 7th at Bradfield Community Center. It's called the War Rumble, which is like, you know, a Royal Rumble type match. And then the winner of that match gets a title shot as a champion that night. So we have a men's Rumble match and a women's Rumble match, plus two other matches. So I'm looking forward to that. War Wrestling always puts on a heck of a show every month.
Nice. And this next segment is called Favorites. I'm sure Sign Guy and the wrestler fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is if you drink coffee.
It doesn't matter
yes.
what kind of coffee. Got a little flavor to it. It's vanilla. Probably be my go-to, but if it's free, I'm all for it.
Nice. Okay, and in your lifetime, what have been your favorite concerts?
Favorite concerts? I went to one musical concert, and that was Lynyrd Skynyrd back in the mid-90s. And so they were very enjoyable, but basically, I like going to comedy concerts, so Jeff Dunham tops that list on that one.
Sweet, okay. And then in your lifetime, what have been your favorite sports teams?
Before I got involved in wrestling, I would, you know, follow football, so Dallas Cowboys has always been my favorite team growing up. I mean, once I got involved in wrestling was mainly my focus then. But the Dallas Cowboys growing up was always, you know, my go-to team.
Right on. And then in your career, who have been your favorite people to work with?
Oh, there is so many people. Two of my top trainers that I always have fun reffing is Cody Hawk and Shark Boy. Those two guys have been the biggest influence of my reffing career. Aaron Williams, Matt Taylor. I've done matches with the late Tracy Smothers, Chase Stevens, the late Island Boys, Rosie and Jamal, Jimmy Yang, Shannon Moore, Evan Courageous, Jock Sampson. He's always a pleasure to work with. Carson Drake, a future up-and-comer, recently got signed with NWA. The list goes on and on.
Nice. How do people get a hold of you?
Okay, people can I'll use one social outlet, and that's Facebook. So just go under Joe Copez. Is me in the ref shirt, you can't miss it.
And then what are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
Be prepared. It's not as easy as you think. It can take a toll on you mentally. I've lost friendships. I've knew what I've done, and I would do it all over again. It's because if you really want to do it, I highly suggest it. But it's not that easy. But the rewards are awesome. Just going out in front of whether it's 15 people or thousands of people, just the goosebumps and the adrenaline and the rush just makes it worth it. So if that's something you really want to do, go for it. The only person doing what you want to do is your own self.
Absolutely. Do you have some schools you'd like to suggest?
There is a school in Hamilton, Ohio, which I believe it's called Hawks Training Camp. They've been through different trainers right now. That right there is the number one training school in my book right now. So if anybody is interested in getting involved in training wrestlers, managers, referees, or whatever, so if you have, anybody is interested in joining, feel free to hit me up on my Facebook page and I can direct you to the actual trainer with all the details on when they train and how much they train. That right there is the number one training school, right now.
Cool. Okay. And then who are some up-and-comers people should keep their eye on?
There's a guy that recently got signed on with NWA's Carson Drake. He's been in business for just a couple years. Dalton McKenzie is one. Lord Cruz is another. He just done a tour in Japan here a couple months ago. Beast Man. He is the War Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. He was also on the tour of Japan here lately. A bunch of the guys that are on War Wrestling promotions, those guys are a bunch of up-and-comers as well. So basically there's a lot of all around. Those guys, are the ones to look forward to because they are the future, the next generation.
Okay, and then, hey, give a shout-out to all the people who are responsible for helping you get to where you're at right now.
Well, the main shout-out is to Cody Hawk and Sharkboy. Like I said, when I was first training, those two guys helped me become a better ref, and working with them in the ring, I learned a lot. So thank you very much, Cody Hawk and Sharkboy.
Awesome. Hey, man, I'm sure Sign Guy's got some more, and I'm really enjoying your story. And I wish you all the luck in the world, brother.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Coach. Well, Joe, one of the other big things in wrestling that helps companies succeed is having a good physical wrestling ring. I'm sure in your time you know that rings can vary quite a bit as far as quality and how they are made, how they're put together, so forth, so on. What is your favorite physical wrestling ring in which you've worked?
The WWF ring or WWE ring and the WCW ring. Back in 2001, HWA was signed on with the WWF when the WWF bought out WCW. So in that, we ended up getting a WCW ring and a WWF ring. Now, those are great to work in. You know, not really stiff, but they are real comfortable. You know, the WWF at the time had ropes, and WCW had tables for the ropes. But they were different to get used to. But in my opinion, those are the very top ones. War Wrestling, and there's another promotion I work for in Ohio called Spot Monkey Promotion. They have a good ring as well. And those are the top rings that I've worked with.
Now, in a similar vein, every promoter knows that securing a venue can be a very, very difficult thing, especially in today's climate where the rates are very high for renting venues. There's often difficulties in obtaining insurance, and not every promoter can just walk in and hand over a couple of $100 and secure a wrestling venue anymore. It's gotten a little bit more complicated than that. What in the most recent days have been some of your favorite buildings where wrestling is held?
In called Showtime All-Star Wrestling in Nashville, Tennessee. They used to run at the Nashville Fairgrounds, and that was a nice big building there. Back in my HWA days, I would run at the Red Barn Flea Market, Montgomery County Fairgrounds. Those were always, great buildings to work in, great crowds. I'd actually worked at the old OVW Davis Arena back in Jeffersonville, Indiana. It was, a hot arena. You couldn't fit a lot of people in there, but just alone made it worthwhile. They could only fit like maybe 75-100 people, but like I said, just being there, those have been my favorite places. I mean, I've run National Guard Armories, which are are fun shows, fun buildings to work in. But I think one of my all-time favorites has been the Red Barn Flea Market.
Now, we have a game on the show we like to play. I think you're a perfect candidate for this. We call it Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk. I will throw out the names of a couple of choices, and the one that is your personal preference is the answer. Are you ready for some Bring On to Choice, Bring On to Funk?
Sure.
Here we go. Pinfall or submission?
Pinfall.
Boston Crab or Claw Hold?
I'm going old school with Claw Hold.
AWA or Memphis Wrestling?
I didn't watch Memphis Wrestling, so AWA.
Water or Gatorade?
Gatorade.
7-Eleven or Sheetz?
Oh, 7-Eleven by far.
Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Stripes or the bow tie and dress shirt?
I've worn them both when I ref. I like the striped shirt.
Adam Cole or Adam Page? And the last one, steel cage match or a chain match?
Steel cage.
you mentioned a few times coming up with Heartland Wrestling Association, which means you've been around Les Thatcher quite a bit in your day. Les Thatcher is something of a traditionalist when it comes to professional wrestling. Sees wrestling as more of a serious sports-based presentation. He's not a big proponent of comedy within wrestling, really. But in your own career, have you done very much as far as either comedy spots or comedy matches?
No, he's more concerned of the traditional wrestling match. He's not a big fan of the comedy spots or, you know, throw a little fun in there just to entertain the crowd. He's more of a serious side than a funny side. So he knows his wrestling. You know, don't get me wrong on that. But he's more serious than funny. So he's not keen on the comedy matches. Even if there's a comedy spot in there, he's not for it.
And when you work for other companies, if they present you with doing a comedy match or even just having a few comedy spots that are meant to be funny, ha-ha, do you hesitate doing those because of the way you were brought up with Les Thatcher, or are you open to doing them yourself away from the prying eye of Les Thatcher?
Away from Les Thatcher, yes, I would do it, but it also depends on the situation. If you want to throw in a little comedy spot, I'm all for it. I'm open for suggestions. I refereed where the wrestler was a mime. And he had a couple ideas for, invisible gun and stuff like that. And I was all for it. And it got passed. So it just depends on, I'm all for having a little fun in the match. Entertaining to the crowd that gives them something to remember. So I'm not all the time, but when it's available and it will be a good spot, I'm all for it. So I can have a little fun or when it needs to be. There's nothing wrong with having a little fun every now and then.
One of the more popular attractions right now in 2024 seems to be the all-midget shows. There's at least three all-midget promotions that tour the United States and go town to town every night on a weekly and sometimes 2-week-long tours. Midget wrestling is something that a few generations ago was sort of a spot filler and an attraction where you'd bring them in once or twice a year on the undercard for a quick match. But now we have entire shows, and they are doing all hardcore shows. You see midget promotions that are mostly serious wrestling shows. We see a wide variety of how they are presented, but they are drawing very, very well in a lot of places. What do you think of the all-midget promotions?
I'm all for it. Like I said, the gentleman I was talking about earlier, Cody Hawk. Cody Hawk actually runs a micro wrestling promotion. And to them, they are doing a fantastic job. They put on a great show. Everybody is professional, and I went to one a couple months ago, and even though there was a major rain delay, they still all went out and put on an entertaining show. So if anybody has a chance to go check out a Michael Wrestling show, by all means, you will enjoy yourself. So I highly recommend the Michael Wrestling show.
In the last decade or so, we've also seen the rise of women's professional wrestling, like the midgets. A couple of generations ago, women's wrestling was seen as an attraction. Some considered it sort of a sideshow. You'd only have one women's match on any card. The very early all-women's promotions were more comedy-based, not taken as seriously as what they would be if they were in existence now. But now women's wrestling sometimes is featured in half of a standard show. Women's matches main event regularly without anyone batting an eye about it. It's much more serious now than it used to be. What do you think of the rise in women's wrestling?
I mean, women's wrestling is something different, just like the midget wrestling. There was a promotion that was all women's serious wrestling, Shimmer, and then there was a wrestling group, you know, everybody's heard of Glow and stuff, which is like, you know, comedy, seriousness, stuff like that. But Shimmer was one of the top leading women's, all women's wrestling promotion, and that promotion there, I knew a bunch of girls that went through there and had fun. And, you know, I support women's wrestling because wrestling is not just a man's sport, it's a women's sport, and, you know, it's a micro sport. So it's, you know, it's a sport that everybody can get involved in, and that's a good thing about professional wrestling is, you know, they don't just, you know, cater to one gender or whatever. It's, you know, it's an open gender to this one. Professional wrestling.
On your own career, do you referee a lot of women's matches, whether it's like an all-women's group or a standard show? Do you find yourself doing a lot of them?
But like war wrestling, like we got the War Rumble coming up, so we're going to have an all-women's, you know, battle royal, plus we also have a women's heavyweight champion match. Hot Monkey Promotions, you know, they have women's matches. They actually have intergender matches now and then. Another promotion that I work for, every once in a while, they'll have women's wrestling, Extreme Valley Wrestling. They have, you know, women's matches every now and then. So it's, I don't, you know, I can choose what matches I ref or whatever. That's all up to the promoter. But I have, so I enjoy having a good women's match, you know, so I can do a good, you know, match or, you know, midget matches. I mean, whatever promoter wants me to ref, I will ref. And
a lot of younger wrestlers today are just getting their starts on the road and starting to travel. And it's easier now more than ever to really go to different areas to wrestle with social media and having YouTube and Daily Motion where you can send links to bookers so they can see your work rather than having to mail out videotapes that you had to edit yourself and cover letters and so forth like people 20, 25 years ago had to do. As someone that's been around for a while, what are some of the tips you would give to a young wrestler starting in order to be successful when traveling?
With traveling, be sure you have a good, dependable car. I've heard so many horror stories on wrestlers' cars breaking down. Be sure you have dependable transportation. Actually, here's a good tip right here for anybody that wants to travel and stuff like that. Get to a couple people to go with you. Rent a vehicle. That way, if it breaks down, you don't have to worry about repairs and stuff like that. And if, I've known people before that would rent, like, man, it's a guy would go up and a couple people, at least while they're while the other two are traveling, or got a van big enough, just sleep in there, save money on hotels. That's how we used to do it back in the day when we went on road shows, is we would have, three or four people in the car, everybody chip in. It's a lot cheaper that way. But you can get to the venue a lot quicker without having to stop. Have one person driving and the passenger will stay up, probably two in the back seat, will sleep or whatever, and then change out drivers every 4 to 5 hours. So that to me is the best way to travel on the road. Plus you can get through the country as well and go from town to town. That's a lot easier than just flying there, because you may see advertisements for other shows somewhere that you never heard of. Social media, you can stop at a gas station and see a flyer for the other show you never even heard of. So I highly recommend, driving from town to town to do shows.
Now, with the way the world is now, it's become much, much easier for independent wrestlers to be able to get international bookings than it ever was before. Independent wrestling has opened up all over the world, and you see promotions in places like England and Romania and in South America and in places like Thailand and China. There's so much independent wrestling globally now, and wrestlers in North America are being booked on some of these international shows as well. Have you ever wanted to leave the confines of the United States and try your hand internationally?
In the horizon? Oh, definitely. I mean, I had an opportunity came my way back in April, and somebody flew me down to Florida to do a show. The opportunity arrived. I would, I'd love to, definitely anywhere. Just to say that, I'm going here now. So I had, I was mentioning earlier, and he had a tour in Japan, and he said he loved it. He never thought in his wildest dreams, whatever, I could do it in Japan, and he's taking another one soon. And he said, I never thought I would do something like this, but it was an experience that you never forget. But yes, I would love to travel anywhere in the world to rest.
Obviously, going anywhere, and especially on an international trip, requires the wrestlers to have their physical gear bag. I've seen wrestlers show up to the building carrying just a paper bag with their gear in it. I've seen duffel bags. I've seen a lot of wrestlers mimic whatever the current trend is by airline pilots, because airline pilots tend to have the newest in travel bags. So there's a lot of variety out there. But as someone that has been around for quite a bit and has traveled a bit, do you have any suggestions on the actual physical gear bag for a young wrestler that might be starting?
I go with small suitcase. I mean, duffel bags are fine, especially if you got it flying in airline or, you know, your luggage needs to be real small or compact. Yeah, duffel bags are the key to do that. But I've always used a small rolling suitcase to fit, you know, my boots, my gear in, and stuff like that. So, more professional you look, the more bookings that you would get. If you just come in with a brown bag and somebody says, "Where are your gear?" "Oh, you need a brown bag." So that doesn't look very professional. But if it's a nice, nice clean duffel bag, a nice clean suitcase, you look professional. And that's the image that you want to give off, that you are professional. You should look like a professional. You should act like a professional.
Joe, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show today, and I want to make sure there's ample time for you if you want to say anything in closing, and if you want to plug and promote absolutely anything from social media to upcoming shows to your favorite bakery, anything at all, floor is all yours.
Okay, well, two of the major companies that I'm working for that always put on great shows is Sport Wrestling. And you can follow them on Facebook and Spot Monkey Promotions. All these shows that I'm on, I always plug them on my Facebook and stuff like that. There's also another promotion. They run one show a year, and it's called Square Circle Expo. They run Friday and Saturday, April 25th and 26th of 2025. They only run one show a year, but they have former WWF stars, WCW stars. It's a huge meet and greet wrestling expo. This is going to be their fifth year coming up, and they have more stars each and every year. So, Square Circle Expo, War Wrestling, and Spot Monkey Promotions are the top promotions that I'd like everybody to come check out if you're in the area.
Joe Kopasz, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to be here. Best of luck to you as you continue on with your career, and hopefully we will get to do this with you again soon.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. I enjoyed talking to both of you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Coach, as we end this episode, do you have some things you want to say, plug, and promote?
Yeah, you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of celebrities' interviews. And also the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, which I'm not sure how much longer it's going to go. There's been a lot of technical problems and stuff like that. Looks like we're going to be doing a couple more shows here, though. And we're looking for a Kevin Sullivan tribute show. The Real School Army remembers Kevin Sullivan. So we're looking forward to that. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. All right. And fans, don't forget, you can jump on the social medias, follow Turnbuckle Turmoil, and follow Song Guy. You can follow Coach. You can follow Chicken Bob on the social medias. I will be at Wrestle Club's 9-year anniversary show 1 week from yesterday in Idaho. So make sure you come out and support the anniversary of Wrestle Club. Don't forget also later today, like I said at the top of the program, Lucha Libre Volcanica coming to the Lake City neighborhood in Seattle. They are at Jalisco's restaurant right off of Lake City Way. Should be a good show. Free event, so come out and support that. We will be back with you next week. So make sure you have us on your calendar. Next Friday afternoon, we have Tobias Storm. And then 1 week from this very day, we are kicking off Wrestle Club Month with El Pingüino. Very much looking forward to having El Pingüino on the show. So make plans to be with us. And everybody stay safe out there, and we will talk to you soon.
Change to nothing.